Well, this is a delight to be here and a delight to be joining our beautiful families as we push play. And do I have glasses? There, thank the Lord, I've got my glasses. Good. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to patch that right over. We're talking on when you're in a family, when you're in a family, this happens. And God is doing some amazing things in this family called Emerge Church. God is doing some amazing things in your families, in your homes. I'm hearing great reports all the time. God doing simply amazing things. You're going to have to help me here manually, so patch it over to the next one. And our scripture today, if you want to move right to the scripture, and that is, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself, that is Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gives him great pleasure to bring us to him. And that's what we're doing this morning in this, to the next slide, please. That's what we're doing this morning in this actual ceremony. We're blessed to have baby dedication service. We do this because we're family. We love our children. We love our children that are newborns. We love the children of God that are in their 70s and 80s. We are all children of God. But it is a ceremony to publicly dedicate our children to God. Listen to me. Acknowledging God's supremacy and his lordship over all of us. It is an act of dedication, of dedicating our lives to the girding up of our beautiful children. A huge responsibility. Can I say almost an impossible responsibility? Aren't you glad we've got God? Then it's doable. Then it works. When we have God, I can't imagine how we could do this thing without God. But we have God. Thanks be to God. If I can have all the families come on up, we're going to push play right now, and we're going to start. So if we can spread out, I think there's 5 or 6 families. If we can literally go right across the front, and we've got designated people to come, elders, deacons, board members are going to be coming and praying. Families, your immediate families as well, we want you to come. So come on up here and just kind of go right across here. And let me just share a couple of things as we push play. We just emptied the congregation. It is a delight to have so many here today. And I know there's lots of family and extended family to see little Johnny and little Susie getting dedicated. But you know what? I'm going to get out of your way here in a moment because it's all about you guys. It's all about the ooh and goo of you guys. So we have got, if you can help me champion as well, we have the certificates. If you can give those to the people that are praying. Right over there. They're in order. We do something a little different here at Emerge Church, and that is we want to speak personally, privately, and beautifully over every family. We believe that the name, we've talked about this many times, the name that we're given is huge. We want to speak into that name that we're given. So we have the spiritual connotation and the spiritual celebration of each name. And also, we have a certificate of celebration, of thanksgiving for this day. These children that we are dedicating have joined a biological family. Rocket science, right? They have joined a biological family. And by virtue of that biological family that they've joined, and the family, now don't look at them, look at me, and the biological family that they, the biological family is part of this family. Okay, so you ready for this? This is the connect. I want you to get this, that these beautiful little gifts are part of our family. They join the family of Emerge Church. These little ones have joined a family, a biological family, a nuclear family, sometimes we call it. They've joined a family. And these little ones are joining us because of that full circle of thought, full unite. Now, as always, it is our hope. Listen to this. Does that like shake or rattle or roll or does it make noise or does it? Nice, good answer. As always, it is our hope, as it is the parents' hope, that all of these beautiful gifts will want to choose Jesus as Savior and Lord. Somebody say amen. Then this completes the loop of spiritual adoption. We're going to be talking about spiritual adoption today. I don't want to miss that. I love the songs we sang about being no more fear because we're adopted into the family of God. So we're born into a family. That's all I had. That's all I wanted you to get today. We're born into a family. All right, here we go. We dedicate or present children to Jesus. The biblical precedent is that children are dedicated. The Bible says that baptism is a believer's baptism. It is for those themselves that choose to be baptized to follow Jesus. But when it comes to dedication, especially if they're 3, 4, 5 weeks old, 2 weeks old, a month old, 6 months old, a year old, it's pretty hard for them to choose and say, Mommy, can I please get dedicated? Now, of course, when they're a little older and we are celebrating that we've got some, I think we've got some 5 and 6 year olds today that are getting dedicated. So thanks God. Thank God. So they can certainly say, can I? And the answer is absolutely true. If we want to patch to the next one, please go over to the next one. Scriptural precedent and into the next one. Hannah presented Samuel in 1 Samuel 1:22. He was presented to the Lord. Next one, Joseph brought his son to Jacob, and he was blessed and presented to the Lord. The children were presented to the Lord. Almost done. And of course, in the New Testament, Jesus himself was presented in the temple. Simeon, who was a prophet of God that was dedicated to God. They went into the temple. He saw Jesus and he declared truth, presenting Jesus to Almighty God. Isn't this awesome? Man, I like this. Charge to the church. Are you ready, church? Are you ready with your responsibility? I want to hear loud amens or loud we wills. Church, and to extended family. That includes you, extended family, so you answer this as well. And let me go this way so I can look at you and make funny faces at you and say, I'm glad I'm here and you're there. Okay. Church, will you continue to provide support and instruction and a life example to these families? Will you pray diligently for these children that they, as we talked about, will want to follow and pursue God even at an early age? Will you continue to pray for these parents? Oh, pray for these parents. Please, pray for these parents. Would you pray for these parents so that they have strength and patience with the greatest privilege and opportunity in the world, and that is bringing up children in the way they should go? Somebody say amen. And somebody say, I will.
I will.
Nice. Amen. Parents, this is to you. Do you promise, as far as you're able, to provide a loving and consistent home with consistent lives for your children? Will you set before them a safe, nurturing home, adhering to the scriptures, the promises and principles in the scriptures, whereby allowing your children to discover God's love all by themselves? In fact, it'll be easy for them to discover God's love because love has been in that home. Do you promise to seek to lead your children early in their lives to accept Jesus as their Savior, friend, and Lord? Parents, answer, I will. We will. I like that. We will. All right, what we're going to do now, actually, let's all stand if we can. We want to pray together. We want to pray and bless these families. So sort of now your show is over, so now huddle in, kind of join into your pocket. And I want our elders and our deacons, I want you to declare those words. I want you to speak those words over their names. And I want you to pray. And then we're going to have one corporate prayer as we close today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're just wrapping up here. This is beautiful. All of eternity is shaped because of what we're doing right now. Eternal things are being shaped right now because of this obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Before we pray, Tammy's going to pray corporately for us. This is a testimony, and I'm sure they would be totally okay with me sharing this. The McMillans had shared that this is a place where they feel like they're at home. They feel that they've landed their home, and they wanted to do the dedication service here. And I was absolutely blessed and honored by that. Now we've got a certificate, and we've got the meaning of the names. We want to present that to you. And now, if we can, if your beautiful children will allow, we'd like you to just, if we could just lay hands on the child, and then, again, if the child allows, just laying on of hands right now, and then Tammy is going to pray corporately. If Daxton will be torn away. No, it's not going to happen.
Well, Lord, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for each family represented here. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless each family, each child, each mom, each dad, each brother, each sister. And Lord, as I was thinking of this morning, I really sensed that God was saying, pray for their mission, for their purpose. And Lord, you value life, and you give us life. And Lord, I just pray for each new life here this morning, that you have a destiny, you have a plan, you have a mission for each one. And Lord, I pray that as they grow, as they're nurtured, that that mission, that purpose, that plan will unfold so naturally. And that Jesus, you have given them to us for such a time as this. And that Lord, that they would all have a purpose to reach people for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh. Yeah, I think we have a preacher coming. All right, as you make your way back, yes, thank you, Jesus. Like I said, eternity has been shaped because of this morning. Thank you, family, for coming and joining this very, very special day. Amen. We're going to continue, and if you want to follow my notes, and then we will get a new remote clicker next week, and everybody said, amen. And if you can just follow along so you'll know where to click, that would be fantastic. I want to do something right now, and I want to qualify this message because it can be received. It's a heavy message, and I want it to be received well. We're talking about family. Our text, our title today is When You Are Family. So when I begin, I feel I need to qualify a couple of points. We all know, or have been actually ourselves in a part of, deeply scarred, dysfunctional homes. That's a reality. That's a reality in 21st century Canada. But the home life God longs each family to have, listen to me, and every family can have if they're drilling and following God. Next slide. When you are a family, you can be. You're loved unconditionally. As with a natural household family, same goes with the church family. And I'm going to be saying that continuously. As with a natural family, a nuclear family here, same goes with the church family. Now understand, next slide, no one understands this and can do it better than Jesus. Aren't you glad for Jesus? He is the one that can love unconditionally. The wonderful news is, though, is that His strength in us, His power in us, He makes us able to love unconditionally more and more, better and better. Every day we have the opportunity to love unconditionally, without condition, without fine ends, without that sense of, I'll love you if, you're part of us if. In a loving God family, there's deep concern for one another. You're actually, are you ready for this? Again, this family, nuclear family. You're actually thought of. You're actually cared for. You can be included. You hear this lots. In fact, Rob said it this morning, even with our cards. You can belong. Everybody say, you can belong. Let me say it one more time. Somebody say it. You can belong. Now, next, even stronger, say, I belong. I belong. Say it again. I belong. I'm loved. I'm loved unconditionally by God and by a church family trying more and more to love unconditionally. Again, let me qualify. Say one thought as we consider through this. Next slide. This is huge. There's three things I want to get across today. I want you to receive this today. There will be an internal struggle in you receiving this sense of belonging, of identity, if there are wounded orphan issues in your heart. But I got good news. God is the God that heals the wounded orphan heart. Somebody out there that's been healed by a wounded orphan heart, say amen. That's what God does. He's our healer. You don't have to feel like you're outside looking in anymore. You don't have to feel like you're fighting that feeling inside that I'm different, I'm yucky. I don't belong. That sense of I'm different. I'm talking about when it's a bad sense of I am different. A lot of people feel they're different. We all feel we're different. But when it's that yucky sense, that bad sense of I'm different, that's what Jesus wants to heal. Paul penned perfect words for the natural home and for the church home when he said, if, and we're going to be talking about lots of this over the next number of months, if one member suffers, we all suffer together. Listen to this. If one member is honored, then we're jealous and we criticize them and we leave the church. Amen? No. We all rejoice together. I'm going to say that 12 more times. If one is honored, then we all rejoice together. No striving, no jealousy, no competing, no comparing. Oh, that we would be set free from that. In a local church context, we rejoice when someone's promoted. We rejoice when someone is honored. We celebrate because God's kingdom is increasing. That was good news right there. Paul goes on and says in Romans, again, same thing, different church, but he said basically the same thing. It is with Christ's body or his family. We have many parts, but we're one body. Many gifts, but one family. We all belong to each other. We belong. I have a picture. And it's called Family. And it says, the one who knows you the best, family. And again, that can be nuclear family. That can be church family. The one that knows you the best and loves you the most, no matter what. The one that loves you, that knows you the best, but still loves you the most. That's unconditional. That's family. Now, of course, this is locked up in a closet somewhere in my home, but it's still important. No, it's not. It's right at our door that everyone that comes, they see that and they go, wow, what a loving pastoral home. Yes, there are arguments. Yes, there's disagreements, right, Ryan and Ashley? Didn't have to agree that quickly. There's differences of opinion, but you know what? It's a safe place to have differences of opinion in our homes, in our nuclear homes, in our family homes, in our church homes. We learned this. I personally learned this at Desert Stream, that it's okay. It's a safe place. You're not written off. You're not thrown. And when you, as soon as you disagree, you chop them loose. No, Pastor Kevin championed that so well. As an apostolic father of the house would. Okay, number one, in a home, you're loved unconditionally. Number two, in a home, there are rules. As goes in a natural home, so goes in church family. Let me say something very quickly and very clearly. If you love, you instill rules. And every parent said, thank you. Next one. Rules aren't wrong. Rules aren't wrong. Try playing football or hockey, organized sports. Try to play it without rules. It is anarchy. It is ruin. I'll tell you what happens. The overpowering will eventually play all by themselves because no one will want to play with them. That's what happens when there's no rules. Next slide. No, the issue is not rules are wrong. Bad rules are wrong. Foolish rules are wrong. You got to get these next few points. This is huge. I believe this is a download from God that he's given me this week. Because I say so is a bad rule. I've never done that, have I, Tam? Yeesh. Aren't you glad for grace and forgiveness? Somebody say amen. Even when you say you pull rank and you pull leader and you say, you know what? Because I say so. You can't do that because I say so. And then your kids go, okay, loving father, that's fine with me. I understand. No, it creates discouragement. The Bible says don't exasperate your children with foolish rules, with just the I say so, with the yell louder, with the slamming of doors. My dad broke more chairs and more doors in my dysfunctional, angry. He was either charismatic and everyone's friend, or he was smashing chairs and smashing doors. That's all you got, one or the other. Makes for a pretty nervous home. When dad was angry, you just sort of stayed clear. There's a clear violation of the Bible, what the Bible says that your children are doing, you talk about it, you explain it, you pray into it. Now, the next, Dan Goddard, he talked about this so well, and I just want to just sort of echo what he said. Political correctiveness, listen to me, is the new normal that has exploded on the scene in our culture in the last 25 years. What I did not realize until this week is I believe this absolute divine truth. Remember I said last week, I talked about how the comparison between alcohol and booze and getting high and stoned, people are choosing that more and more because there's less the sense of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, choose the filling of the Holy Spirit as opposed to the filling of booze. Don't get high from booze and drugs. Get high from a living God. This idea that we're slipping away from something good and taking hold of something bad. But here's another comparison that I've discovered this week. There is a cultural norm. There is a new set of rules in political correctiveness. As less and less people are doing, I'd like to say Christian things, but I would be more apt to say religious things. Let me say it this way. There are less religious rules than there was 75 years ago. You know, you have to wear a tie in church, and 50 years before that, it was evil to wear a tie in church, and you have to wear a suit, and 50 years before that, it was evil to wear a suit, and oh my goodness, foolish rules. Everyone knows you're supposed to wear black jeans with a black blazer. I mean, that is the God way. I mean, let's be honest. With very cool shoes and with my new glasses that I can't see out of because they're all smudged. Somebody say amen. Now, political correctiveness rules have replaced religious rules, not in church, but in our culture. Again, some are good, some are really bad, some are evil. Some political correctiveness rules are bad, are anti-God. Now, anti-bullying, I believe, is a good rule, but here's the problem. How do you legislate it? How do you make that rule? And as one that was abused and bullied all through public school and all through high school, I get that. Bullied all my life. Talking with people even in the last few weeks, talking about how they struggled and how deep scarring, deep emotional wounds, deep insecurity happens because of bullying. Aren't you glad Jesus can heal your heart? I expected a lot louder amen than that. Let me say it again. Aren't you glad Jesus can heal your heart? He can heal your wounded place. One touch of the Master's hand and we can be set free. Dan Goddard explained so eloquently, political correctiveness has tried to redefine tolerance. Again, a new rule that actually isn't even the word tolerance. It has become, if you don't believe like I believe, you are judging and not tolerant. If you don't believe like me, then you're wrong, you're judging, you're not tolerant. Well, let me tell you something. I got news for you. That ain't tolerance. That's just a new inverted intolerance. Tolerance is accepting someone with a different opinion without breaking their neck, without keying their car, without slashing their tire. Tolerance is accepting someone with a different opinion, and you agree to disagree, and you still value that person. Agree to disagree, but you still value that person. That is tolerance. And you know who should be championing that more than anyone else in the world? The church. Loving people no matter what. You might have a different opinion, but you know what? We still value you. We still love you. That's the stuff. That's the stuff that life, that's the stuff that family's made of. That's the stuff. Almost done. Number three. Here's my moment. I've been paid $350 bribe money by parents because of this message. Hallelujah. Again, as with natural household, I'm kidding. Didn't. Not a penny. Coffee would be good, though, by some parent. Coffee would be great. That would be fantastic. Thank you. As with natural households, same thing it goes with the church family. Chores, listen to me, and I know it's kind of trite, but I want you to get the truth. I don't want you to lose the truth from the triteness, from the levity of these words. Don't lose the truth. Chores affirm you belong. If you have no rules and no chores, it's a form of child abuse. If your home has no rules and chores, it's actually a form of child abuse. Remember I told you about how rules have changed? 50, 75 years ago, All you heard about is kids being abused and having to work, you know, from the time they're 6 or 7 years old, and they got the strap and they were beaten blind. And that was the old rules of discipline. Now the new rules are you let them do and run wild. It's a form of child abuse. Now I realize that there is no 10-year-old that will ever understand and will ever get that. But as you grow up, you start to get it. I've talked to so many people in a counseling situation. Again, this is more often the topic. This is more often the situation than it was probably 40 or 50 or 60 years ago, where the belt came out and we got the strap all the time. You don't hear that much anymore. What you hear now is, there was no rules in my home. I liked it then, but now as an adult, it leaves me bewildered. Hello? Was I loved? Did they love me enough to call me up on stuff? Did they love me enough to give me disciplines and to give me a job and to give me gifts? Did they? You know, I use this all the time, and it's so true, and I believe the Lord gave me this years ago. You know, parents will say, I don't care, do whatever you want. Listen to what that sentence just said. I don't care. I don't care enough for instilling disciplines. I don't care enough for giving you a chore where you can learn a gift, where you can learn going forward. We have to grow up. With a highly functional family, you join in. You do the assignment. Whatever it is, you join in. Now, this, I'm talking about family home life. Take out the garbage, do the dishes, shoveling the walk, dust, polish the silver. As if anyone polishes silver anymore. I used to have to polish the silver when I was a kid. I just threw it in the dishwasher. It was perfect. Kids, young people, I know some of you are here. Cleaning your own room doesn't count because it's your own room. It has to be something beyond that. I just thought I'd say that. I just wanted to put that in there. But you know what? Rules, when that truth of, at its core, a kid hates it, but at its core, when the revelation finally lands, it's a validation of, I actually belong. I actually belong. You love me enough. I'm part of this thing. And as part of this thing, you join in and you get her done. Now, let's fast forward into church life, and we'll close with this. In church life, God longs for more people to discover his goodness within a church family context. God longs to see more and more people discover how good he is. And not just how good he is, but discover how good he is with these people, with this motley crew, that you can actually come in here and you can say, wow, God is good because they are nice. That experience, and unfortunately it's already up there. Oh, why did you change that font? Don't change my fonts anymore, Keelan, please. Wherever you are, don't do that. You enter that great unknown. You enter that great unknown. When someone comes maybe for the first time, it's that moment of terror as someone goes in and enters that place of terror, a church. It didn't burn down. I'm going to walk in that church, and I don't have a clue what I'm going to expect. I have no idea what's going to come my way. Are they all going to handcuff me and tie me up and throw sackcloth and ashes all over me? I have no idea. But you know what? You were brave enough, and you came for that first time. And you discovered, you became, that day, you became a guest. Yeah, I was going to say, you became tortured, ruined, destroyed. No. You became a guest. It's exciting. It's new, but it is terrifying. Everyone is friendly in there. People shaking my hand. There's coffee. Wow. Sometimes too friendly. That's Pastor Todd. Sometimes too friendly. But get to know us. Then we become grumpy. Then we put you to work. Hallelujah. Next slide, but it's a new experience. It's huge. You can't circumvent this. You have to discover this new thing. Don't want to belittle it. You move from perception to reality. What you perceive church might be like to what it actually is like. And more times than not, people will say, I never thought church was like that. Of course, that can go both ways. I never thought church was like that. I will never step foot in there again. No. Most of the time it's, wow, that was actually cool. The music was cool. The preacher was amazing. The coffee was amazing. The soft, cushy chairs were amazing. You've whet your appetite. You've been wrecked for normal. God has wrecked your appetite for not doing life without God, not doing life without church. But to fully, here, this is the whole message, and I close with this. To fully experience God with his people, warts and all. We have the warts, God doesn't, okay? But you fully experience God when you experience, when you're with his people. Did everyone get that? Pregnant pause. I'm going to pause here. Did everyone get that? You fully experience God. Not in those moments on a cliff. Not those moments on a mountaintop. Not those moments where you just take in the glory and the radiance of God. You see the mountains and he is wondrous and majestic and you're, ah! That's awesome. But you fully mature when you experience God in here with people, rubbing shoulders with people, and they're normal and they're average. Sometimes they get on your nerves, but you know what? You love them. These next two lines are your takeaway today. Being a guest is awesome, but you got to grow beyond being a guest. Being a guest is necessary, but you got to get beyond being a guest. It's a little formal. It's a little stilted. Sometimes it's a little awkward. A lot of times there's a lot of fear because you don't know what to expect in a church context. And see, next slide. With guest, there is delineation. There is a distance. There is that distance. Listen to this. When you're a guest, this is what you think. Whenever I go to church, they are friendly. Right? Whenever I, separate from them, whenever I go to church, they are friendly. That's the guest mentality. We transition from that, from a true sense of belong, a true sense of family, which takes time, which needs to be organic, but it's a transition at a natural pace. And then next slide, it's when someone visits us, we are friendly. Did you get that difference? Tammy, can I pick on you? Come on up here. I'm going to pick on you because, okay, you come into church. She represents church. I represent the visitor, the guest. And so, all right, I've come in and I witness you. Amazing, wonderful, incredible, friendly. And then I go home. Then she goes home and I go home. Okay, you go home, I go home. Now, you go home. Yeah, you sit down. That's going home. Now, okay. Now, You ready for this? My sentiment is, wow, that was really cool when I went to church because they were nice. Now, that transition that has to take place where the I becomes us. The I becomes we. I've said this before, but it's true. Now, stand up, beautiful Tammy. Now, I'm part of the family. I'm part of this church. I believe that it is now my home. I'm not a visitor anymore. It's my home. And I marry this gorgeous woman. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. And now in church, it is our mission to love the new guest that is still living in I. You see that? And that just continues. Thank you, Tammy. Can you give it up for Tammy Pratt? We are friendly. We are family, and we love those people that now are the new set of guests that take that journey towards family. And the easiest mechanism, next slide, the easiest mechanism that facilitates belonging is getting involved. Thank you. The greatest way. You know, people say, well, you know, I still feel like I'm an outsider. Well, then come and get involved. Become a greeter. Get involved. Teach Sunday school. Get involved. Move, transition from me against them, me versus them, this gulf, this ocean between me and them. Okay. To we. Do life. I'm involved. I'm going to teach Sunday school. How's that, Ash? Did I do okay? I'm going to teach Sunday school. I'm going to become an usher. We need ushers. We need four more ushers, by the way, so you can sign up today. That is the thing that communicates and facilitates belong, being part of, maybe more than anything else. To get this thing fixed. That's when we move from guest to family, when we get involved. No, stay there, please. Don't go. Stop. When you're involved, this is the whole thing. This is the whole message. We're going to be talking about this a lot this fall. Tammy and I are going to co-lead, and we're going to co-preach. When you get involved, you move from interested to invested. You move from searching to stakeholder. You move from consumer to contributor. Come on. That is when true fulfillment actually seeps in. Next slide. I'm invested there. It's my place. I'm not a visitor anymore. It's mine. Emerge Church is mine. I love the family of Emerge Church. I'm part of the family of Emerge Church. I want to get involved in the family of Emerge Church. I now trust the people of Emerge Church. I've journeyed with them long enough. I've walked with them long enough. I trust them. They're good people. It's not to bolt in and do something and then bolt out and go back to you. It's the now I'm part of the family. There's no delineation. There's no separation. It's not go in there and do something quick and then get back to me. It's now I'm part of the family. We are family. Ha! You have to. Brothers and sisters and me. Roll, thank you. I'll be here all week. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're beautiful. How do you get involved? How do you feel like family? Well, there's a lot of heart issues. There's a lot of scar issues. There's a lot of counseling issues. There's a lot of emotional issues. But the mechanical way is roll up your sleeves and belong, and then you get accomplishment and purpose. Somebody say amen. Roll up them sleeves. Join in. When there's a work bee, you don't run, you jump in. If something's got to get done, it's not they will do it, it's we will do it, or I will do it. Because that's family. Margaret Thatcher. How many people in this room know Margaret Thatcher? Everyone, oh, very good. Okay. Most people over 50, but you know some young people or well-read people. Margaret Thatcher was the Iron Lady. She was a conservative prime minister of England that turned it around and made it better. Did I just say that? And this is one of her famous quotes. She says, look at the day when you were supremely satisfied at the end. It's not a day that you lounged around and did nothing. It's the day you had everything to do, and you got it done. Think about it. After that, think about it. Number two, it's more blessed to give than receive. Jesus' own words. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, if anybody wants to belong, if anybody wants to take a hold of this mature thing called family, then let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever would save his life, whoever will try to save his life, protect his life, do his own thing, never belong, will lose it. Whoever loses his life jumps into the unknown, jumps into the fearful, jumps into family, jumps into becoming accountable, jumps into being reliable, jumps into church life, for my sake, we'll find it. That's the Todd Pratt version. There's a lot of addition there. It's the Todd Pratt version, but it's good nonetheless. Jesus said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Somebody say amen. Two things, and then Dan and Colton are going to come, and they just want to share something, because we're family, aren't we? Are we family, Dan? Yeah, we are. Okay, number one is we need volunteers for the Christmas presentation, the children's Christmas presentation. That's going to happen. Please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet out there. Second thing is Steve Rowe, dear friend of mine, is going to be speaking at the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. Sign up for it before I come after you and chase you down. I'd like you to come. It's 7 o'clock this Friday. I want you to be there. We have subsidy. There's about 6 or 7 seats that we have. So if you even can't afford it, we want you there. You're joining family. You're joining the greater family. Colton and Dan, would you come already? You're joining the family, the greater family, the Christian family in Sylvan Lake. We are blessing our town council. We're blessing our mayor. And we're blessing Steve. And most importantly, we're blessing Jesus Christ. And love to have you there. We've got 3 tables booked. We'd love you to come if you can make it. God bless you. Hi, beautiful people. We're family.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Just start by thanking Pastor Todd and Tammy and the church for allowing us to just share. We asked them if we could be after the baby dedication, so we didn't have to be cuter and more memorable than the babies. So, yeah. But now that I think of it, we're at the end, so I guess I have to say to you guys, okay, just for a second, get out of the mindset of, I wonder if that roast in the crock pot is done yet, or for the dudes, what burger joint are we going to after this? If you could give us your ears for the next 3-4 minutes, we just want to share something. We want to give you an opportunity to roll up your sleeves and be the church in this community. So I'm going to do that by just sharing a story first. And I think it's a good story because we can actually all relate to it. And this story just happened last weekend at Thanksgiving. And so we were at my relative's. We went up to Grand Prairie, a long drive just for some turkey, but it was awesome. We got to hang out with family. And then in that, we stopped in at one of my uncle's houses, and we were walking up the stairs, and he has all these pictures at the top of the stairs, and my wife Erin goes, "Oh man, look at your family." And he stands there, and he has this huge smile as he's looking across the pictures, and he sees his family. And then as he gets to one of the children, his smile turns to tears. And that child is far from God at the moment. And it painted this picture in my head as I saw my uncle smiling, looking at his family, and then getting to that one child, and tears came to his eyes, and he was moved. And he wasn't angry with that child. He wasn't angry at what the child had done. They were tears because he wanted the son to know the father's heart. And so I saw this picture of God, and even right now, Jesus just looking through this crowd, smiling. These are my children. They made it here today. It's awesome. And then I see his heart as he looks down the road at Incline. Me and Dan work for Youth Unlimited, Incline and Timber. And I see his heart as he looks at some of those children, and tears hit his eyes. And it's not because of what they do or what they're doing. It's because he longs for them to know his heart. So Dan's going to present you with an opportunity.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of stuff that we've been a part of for the last, well, since the last time we've shared. We ran sports camps this year, which was amazing. We got a bunch of kids from a grant program to come for free. It was really cool because we were able to build relationships. And Erin's joined us this year. Colton's wife is also with Youth for Christ, and so is Carolyn. She's an amazing counselor, and so, yeah, she's a part of our team. And Meg's a part of Life 360 this year, which is awesome too, my wife. But we got to get these kids to come to sports camp, and we felt like we just needed to share more about Jesus as well as having fun. The Hillmans were there. Deb's grandkids were there. It was awesome. And we just, every lunch, we shared testimonies of how Jesus has worked in all of the leaders' lives. And we do the same thing at Life 360, our Tuesday program as well. We say, we're all here not because we're bored on Tuesday nights. We're here because Jesus has wrecked us, changed us, and now we want him, we're inviting him to do the same things in your guys' lives. Because when we release our testimony, it has power, and we say, God, do it again. Do it again for these guys. So sports camp was good. A lot of those kids came to Camp Makeaway out at Sunnyside, and two of the kids that we saw 2 weeks prior at our sports camp gave their lives to the Lord at Makeaway. And Colton asked them, yeah, praise God. Colton said, like, why now? They said, ever since you guys shared the gospel a month ago, we haven't stopped thinking about it. And so it was just that moment to kind of push them over the line and bring them into the kingdom of God. And it's so good. So that's good for us too, because we get encouraged every time we share. Maybe those kids are wrestling with the gospel for who knows how many weeks or years or decades even. And we're okay with that, because our job, Colton says this all the time, we're professional seed sowers. It's not our job to make converts. And it's actually not, it is our commission, but not our job to make disciples either. In the same way that Jesus does the conversion, he also does the discipling, right? Through us, we're a part of that. So our opportunity for you guys is this. We've been coached to only ask for one thing at a time. And we have lots. And if this resonates with you, just come talk to us, because there's plenty of opportunities. But our biggest need right now is for food or money for food on our Tuesday program. So we shut down Timber early, 5:30. And we have amazing volunteers to provide meals, supper, for, it's been an average of 37 youth and another 15 adults every Tuesday at Timber for the last 3 consecutive weeks since we started this year. So Jeff comes, it's awesome. Donna helps out in the kitchen, preparing the food, just helping get it served. So we really need food. It probably costs, up from last year, I would guess $250 a week to feed 150, depending on how good your food is. If you have steak or macaroni, I don't know. Pigs in a blanket, that's Colton's go-to. So our one ask for you is if you want to help, we need food. We have a couple that come into Timber Coffee almost every day, sometimes twice a day. They're not Christian. They love what we're doing on Tuesdays, and they are in a six-week rotation to donate food for our kids, and they know we preach Jesus. It's just amazing. So jump in, be encouraged, help us feed these kids. If there is leftovers, they get it on Wednesday at lunch. They come hang out with us. So God's doing amazing stuff. Thank you guys very much for listening, being a part, and loving on us.
Amen. Amen. Stand, church. Let's stand together. Point your hands this way as an act of faith, launching that God stuff at them. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. Father, thank you that you are teaching us to roll up our sleeves. You're teaching us, Lord, we're moving from visitors, from guests, from consumers to contributors. And that's when the joy starts. That's when life starts. So, Father, have your way. Lord, with, lots of needs here and for what you're doing at Youth Unlimited and Incline, Timber. Father, even just put your heart, just deposit something on people even this morning that can say, yeah, I can do that. I want to be part of that. So, Lord, thank you for this incredible family. Thank you for family. We're doing this together. We're seeing kingdom increase because we're family. Bless this great people today. Bless these beautiful kids and these beautiful babies and these beautiful children that were dedicated, these parents that were obedient, the act of obedience of dedicating themselves and their children. Bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you for your patience. I know we went a little over, but God bless you. Have an incredible day. Have an incredible day.